Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, chatting with Joel Alkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. And Joel, let's spend some time this segment talking about earnings. A little earnings recap here. A lot of eyes were on Tesla last night that reported some, I guess, interesting earnings because of just how much money they made off of their cryptocurrency trading by selling some Bitcoin. But overall, that, well, adjusted some of the numbers much higher than expectations. The market is seeing that, though, and it's kind of a mixed trade, I guess, when it comes to Tesla. What was your takeaway from those Tesla earnings and really how they made, what, over $100 million just on cryptocurrency trading?
Yeah, that contributed to the earnings beat. Thanks for having me today, Corey. Tesla has just been kind of boring lately. It had to decline off the all-time high, and it had to rebound, and it's just kind of stuck in the mud here. I can't really, tell you too much, drilling down into the earnings. I think it's just trying to decide. It's found a trading range here between 700 and 750, and it's been in that trading range here for the better part of 2 weeks. So without going off the earnings report, drilling in, the pros and cons of it, I would say it's stuck. And when stocks are stuck, they have consolidation periods, and then the consolidations are resolved. And above 750, it got close to that in the after-hours trading, couldn't hold it. This morning, you couldn't get to 700. You're down on the session, but your low is 705.10, and you bounced to 713. So the contraction of the ranges just means bulls and bears are deciding in that. So I think it's time to just sit tight unless you're a range trader, get involved. But if not, wait for the next move.
Just wait for the next move. And it's one thing we have seen from Tesla that it can move aggressively, both up and down, right? So wait for that trend. Are you leaning towards one or the other here, Joel?
I have a small long position in it, so I hope it I hope it breaks out to the upside. When I look at your primary catalyst being earnings and see the way it's reacting to earnings, I mean, I don't know what the next catalyst is going to be. Maybe if the street comes out with some price target raises off the earnings report, but I don't know if you're going to see that. I'm cheering it to go higher, but I'm fearing it to go lower.
All right, Joel, how about another company that really knocked it out of the park with their earnings, UPS? I don't think we should be too surprised that UPS some great earnings because, well, think about everyone who's sitting at home getting parcels delivered. But boy, oh boy, the stock is definitely reacting off of those earnings, has a huge gap in this daily chart and is up about 11% just today. What's your takeaway from UPS and even more importantly, the market reaction to that?
The street was leading the wrong way into the report, which is kind of interesting, as we talk about it now in retrospect, but it had a bad day yesterday. Shed, what did it do? It shed about $5. And it was a weak close. You had, your major resistance at 180, and you had some nervous Nellies out there or some people for some reason thinking that, hey, maybe they were going to miss or maybe they were going to say, hey, this quarter is great. We don't expect that. A lot of times it's the guidance that can trip people up, but no can do. I mean, this thing was ripping. In the pre-market trading, just based on prior history, this thing had, a lot of times surrendered a lot of those gains. And I was looking at for a potential setup. But when stocks make moves like that and then they react to in the pre-market, a good indicator, a good thing to keep an eye on is, do you get continuation through the pre-market high? That means that, guys like D, they might be trying to, pick a top. Well, throw in the towel there. And you had a pre-market high of 192.50. It gave you a little shake and bake off the open. Went down to, I believe it was 189.71, and then rocketed up to 197.28. So Big gap in here, kind of out of character for it. It's dragging FedEx along with it. FedEx is up 4.65% at 288.57. But, I mean, you know, you just go out in your neighborhood and take the dog out. I mean, you just see those trucks. Boom. Every day people are getting, you know, they're making all this money in the stock market. They're buying stuff online, and it's got to be delivered. So, nice report. I would just, if you're in this issue or whatever, keep an eye on the high for today. Keep an eye on the close, too. I always like to keep an eye on the all-time closing high is that as well. But just strong report for UPS. Big beat.
Yeah, it really was. And the market taking note of that, too. But as you said, it's a lot about forward guidance, too. Let's talk about any other stocks that have your attention. I realize a lot of the big boys are reporting here tonight and in the very short term, but what are you going to be watching for? Anything else that has caught your eye so far this earnings season?
I think, well, just like with, you know, with some of these big boys, you know, Apple sold off its beat. I mean, this 135 and a half area, I'll be keeping an eye on that. If it blows through there, then, you know, I think you could easily see 140 on this one. I'm just going to see what the reaction is to beats, because Apple beat and beat big, had a big quarter. They sold it off. Same thing with Amazon, right? And so I want to see. Microsoft, a little bit different story. Google, a little bit different story. But, you know, let's see. I mean, if how the street, if they react to these reports, because we've talked about, you know, the character of this market, and it's been a lot of the value. The, you know, the big guns, the ones that let us out of the market, you know, out of the abyss last year, have kind of cooled their, you know, cooled their heels a little bit. So that could really, really, you know, add another leg if these big cap, and I'm speaking, you know, Apple more so, and Amazon, Microsoft is near all time highs, and Facebook too. So see what they do on good news here, and see if you get the opposite reaction that you did last quarter.
So, Joel, when it comes to the forward guidance, too, is there anything that either you're expecting or has caught your eye in terms of companies saying we're either going to continue or, quite frankly, look for a fade coming up?
No. I mean, I think that, you know, the reopening trade, at least for, you know, over here, the rest of the world doesn't seem to be doing so well, but it just seems like there's the street, you know, these reopening trades have come up to, you know, made some peaks. Some even have gotten back over levels that they were at before the pandemic. So there's just a ton of optimism here that, you know, the spending's going to continue or pick up. So, I mean, look at the way this market's been. There's been good numbers, and they've talking about good numbers moving forward. So until that trend breaks, you have a strong market.
Well, and that's a thing, right? There's a lot of optimism out there. And as much as people are saying too many people are bullish, the fact of the matter is, at least in the U.S., the economy is continuing to reopen. And that doesn't necessarily need to get faded right away, does it? Optimism can last for quite a while, especially in this sort of environment.
This seems like there's bids, you know, you had a little bit of a sell-off last week, and boom, boom, couple lows in the same area, and boom, you know, it took off. So even if we do go down, there seems to be a good amount of money on the sidelines, you know, willing to buy the dips here. It's something that's, it's been working. It's been working well since, you know, we came off the March lows.
Yeah, the buy the dip, right? That's almost been the strategy for these markets for a long time. Let's also talk about commodities, base metals, even food. There's a lot of movements to the upside also in commodities, and a lot on these kind of growth or inflation also metriced commodities. Do you think that is also just showing just how optimistic everybody is and there's a lot of money out there, so spread it around?
Yeah, you look at these commodity charts and you're like, no inflation, kind of scratches your head a little bit. I think for your, you know, for your base metals, you know, the infrastructure plan is, you know, people are, you know, you're going to need steel, you're going to need coal, you're going to need copper, you know, in order to, you know, complete the infrastructure that's proposed. So I think that's put a bid. Our country is in dire need of repairs to bridges and waterways and some of our transportation. So as long as that, you know, unless that bill, you know, falls through the crack, I mean, also the housing market, you know, people are making their money. They're spending, you know, spending money buying new houses. You need the house supplies. So, you know, the reopening trade, the stimulus is, you know, going into these commodity markets, and everyone's just waiting it to show up as inflation. So trend is your friend until it breaks. And commodities can have trends for a long time. And when the trend finally breaks, it's violent. But ride it while it's present.
Joel, what do you think about the comment that I've been hearing about this commodity super cycle that could be or is currently underway? Do you subscribe to that theory?
I mean, it's hard. I don't know about a super cycle, but they, you know, been depressed for years, kind of like the value versus growth trade. So when those trends reverse, it's hard to stop them. So I don't know what the exact definition of a super cycle is, but I know there's some, you know, supply chain concerns, you know, also, you know, commodities are affected by, you know, weather, some big storms or something, as far as the soybeans and the corn and oats and things of that matter. So based on the price action, I can't discount the fact that, you know, a lot of these commodities are in a strong bull market and trends continue for a while in commodities.
Yeah, they do. And I think sometimes people just want to use some of those catchphrases like a super cycle just to draw even more people in. But fact of the matter is, let's just watch the price action. And right now it's base metals and really these industrial metals that are doing quite well. Final comments then, Joel, as we look ahead to the Fed meeting and Fed statement that we'll get tomorrow. Are you expecting anything other than what we have seen from the Fed, and that's being really boring?
Yeah, the Fed, I mean, they've stated their case and they've restated it. They don't want to disrupt, you know, the recovery that's going on. You get pretty good, you know, you probably could get some volatility off some of the, you know, the small statements if you're good at, you know, trading off those kind of things. But I don't think the way he set things up, I just don't look for him to be changing course anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't blame you, and neither am I, because Powell has been almost historically boring with his press conferences and all of his statements, telling everybody that the Fed is pretty much just staying the course. But we'll see if or when we get any change out of the Fed and even other central banks that are meeting this week. Joel, good chatting with you as always, buddy. I will post a link to that Benzinga website where everyone can listen to the replays of your pre-market prep show. Joel, thanks for your time. We'll chat again next week.
Okay, thank you, Corey. Hopefully things will be a little bit more exciting next week.